You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
You've heard us talk about DraftKings, the leader in daily fantasy sports, and how payday can come every day by entering their contest with huge cash prizes up for grabs.
Making a lineup on DraftKings adds excitement to every night and is simple to do. Draft your lineup and feel the sweat like never before. You feeling the sweat, Taylor?
I don't have air conditioning, so.
Oh, you are definitely feeling the sweat then. Well, every moment means more with a DraftKings lineup on the line. DraftKings has paid out over $7 billion to users across all sports. I would really love $7 billion. Even just like 700, but like 7 billion, that's a lot of goddamn money. DraftKings is the leader in daily fantasy sports, so there is no better place to get in on all the action.
Now that you know how to play, download the DraftKings app and sign up using promo code THPN. New users will get a free entry with their first deposit. That's code THPN to get a free entry with your first deposit, only at DraftKings. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to yet another episode of Straight Up Sabres, presented by the Hockey Podcast Network and Buffalo Fanatics. As always, I'm Brendan.
And I'm Taylor.
And after a nice little run of having some stuff to talk about, our luck has seemingly run out because there's really not a lot yet. Things are about to get crazy within the next week or two with the expansion draft looming, along with the regular NHL draft and the start of free agency. None of those things are preventing the Sabres from making any trades right now, but they just hate us and do not want us to have the content. But with that being said, we do have a little bit of news that came out today that we actually had talked about on our last episode, and that is that the Buffalo Sabres very smartly asked Jeff Skinner to waive his no movement clause for the expansion draft specifically. Now, this isn't just him waiving his clause overall because they have the intent of trading him, or him waiving it because they feel as though Seattle may take him. This move solely comes down to them knowing that Seattle will not pick up the tab on a $9 million per year contract for the next 6 years, and allows them then to hang on to one of their younger forwards, most likely Rasmus Asplund in this case. So, Taylor, general thoughts, first of all, on Skinner waiving his no movement clause and just being a total G that he is.
I mean, he really has nothing to lose because I don't think he even wants to be here. Like, he's wearing like a way too much of a disguise, just like pounds and pounds of makeup and like all that weird stuff that makes him look like an old man, but like way too thick and unnatural looking. And he's just saying, I don't want to be here anymore. That's a reference. Anyone who gets it, tweet at me. I don't have a good at anyway. So he wants to be gone. I mean, the coach last year is doing psychological torture on him. The team has no path to being good, and he's never played in a playoff game. So there's no risk to him getting taken at all. And he gets to keep his contract too. And he'd be getting to go, obviously not to a place where they'd probably make the playoffs right away, although you never know, but he'd be a leader. He'd be respected. Maybe he could get, you know, his mojo going again. But really what's going to happen is he's just going to come off looking like a good guy who cares about the team and wants to be a leader and all that good stuff. So that's really the outcome. And that's good for him too. It's good for the Sabres because I think we all assumed that they were going to keep Tage to save face to make it look like, hey, we're not totally giving up on the O'Reilly trade. But there were other guys that we wanted to keep more. We'd rather keep Anders Bjork.
The ghost of Vladimir Sobotka.
Yeah, of course. Mika Noronen. I think he needs one more shot in net.
I agree. What do they have
to lose? Would he have been a better goalie than Dustin Tokarski or Jonas Johansson? Probably. Even like now when he's like 40.
Yeah. He scored a goal, kind of. I mean, yeah. On the score sheet he did at least.
Yeah, true.
Ziggy's a big Mika Noronen fan too, as you could probably hear.
Oh, we've talked about hundreds of times.
Hundreds.
And Bjork they were going to keep too, because they don't want to look, you know, bad in the Taylor Hall trade. But that would mean no Rasmus Asplund. And after how he looked this past year, I think I'm very much more interested in keeping him than Tage Thompson. Although it's funny, now that I'm talking, I realize all of those guys are the products of bad trades. I had not realized that until just right now.
Don't you just love it?
Yeah, Asplund was part of the Pezzik trade, for those who don't remember. But if Asplund ends up being pretty good, maybe that trade doesn't look so bad.
That'd be nice. Maybe one of these trades looks good.
Yeah.
Probably not, but maybe.
Yeah, obviously the Tage isn't doing anything to change that trade. But so that allows them to keep those guys if, big if here, they're willing to expose Gergensens.
They have to, right?
Yes, coming off a major injury, 2 years left on a contract, getting paid too much. Not like it's like $10 million or whatever, but like he's getting paid too much.
You have to leave him exposed. You really do. I think that with the draft coming up too, it kind of sheds light, I think, on a bigger picture here, which is they need to trade Rasmus Ristolainen right goddamn now. The reason I bring that up is because they are going to probably, I'm assuming, so that they can protect more people, go with the 7 forwards, 3 defensemen, 1 goalie setup for how they're going to choose to protect players. I am not about to run the risk of them losing Will Borgen because they are refusing to make this goddamn trade. What are you waiting for? You have heard that the New Jersey Devils are interested. Other teams have been throwing him out there as a potential piece too, for maybe including him with an Eichel or a Reinhardt deal. The interest is there. I am of the belief that one way or another, I do think Seattle ends up taking Colin Miller. Maybe the Sabres work something out so that they don't take Borgen, but like, oh my God, trade this man so you don't even run the risk of potentially losing Borgen. Like, if you're going to protect Ristolainen with 1 year left on his contract, when you are pretty much all but guaranteed that that man is about to be strolling to free agency next summer, what are you doing having him still on the roster even now? That's why I made that comment before, because the playoffs, or the cup, I should say, is over now. But even before then, while that was still going on, you were still able to make trades. And I understand that there's cap implications involved. I get that. But like, get this guy off the roster so that you don't even have to worry about running the risk of losing a guy like Borgen, who we don't really know what his potential is quite yet. Or I mean, we probably know maybe what his potential is, what his ceiling is, but like there's a lot more of the surface to scratch with him. I'll put it that way. He had the injury last season. He was cooking in Rochester for way too long. So we really have not gotten to get a full taste of him over an extended period of time. And he's the kind of guy that I do want them to keep around, you know, but what are we waiting for with trading Rasmus Ristolainen? I mean, I know that it's gotta be Terry calling the shots because he loves his big boy and wants him to stick around. But my God, please, Sam Ventura, I know you're not listening, but like, knock some sense into these people.
Yeah. So what I think before I get to the defenseman, I actually want to keep Gergensens over Tage, despite what I said earlier. I don't think they're going to do that. So that's why
you think that?
Cause Gergensens is a decent enough fourth liner and Tage Thompson sucks shit.
But as a counterpoint, can't you also get decent enough fourth liners who aren't getting paid $2.25 million for the next 2 years?
That's a good point. I mean, if it's a contract thing, then yeah, but like they're nowhere near the cap. So what do I care about that?
No, that's fair. That's fair.
Like, I mean, as long as you're just, I guess the thing is everyone wants to keep Tage for a potential thing. And I just think that ship is so sailed for me that I'm I'm really not interested. I think maybe if they do a reboot. Yeah, because the only reason that's worth talking about anything with the Sabres now is if you think, if you have some little tiny bit of hope, they can do a rebuild on the fly and be good by good, I mean competitive and not terrible and embarrassing by 2022, 2023, or the year after. In which case, I think you could have Asplund or Gergensens as a contributor on one of those teams. Not that I'm eager to keep Gergensens, but I just recognize they're going to keep Tage.
I know, and you love
he's very bad,
Taylor.
Yeah,
don't deny it.
We love him, folks. Don't
love Zemgus.
He looks like his face looks like he's being shot like through the lens of a Nirvana 90s music video. So, and we love that, and we're working on that. So, that's my last thought on the forwards. And so, with the defense, it is interesting. So, if you're looking at it from a how are you going to come out of this way, like looking at all the situations that you could come out of this end. So that's you lose Borgen, you lose Miller, you lose Ristolainen. Now, if you trade Ristolainen before, there's some chance you get a good deal for him still. There's a lot of idiots in this league, and we should actually get to that in a minute, all the dumb stuff that's happened this week outside of Buffalo.
Maybe the biggest idiot of them all has now re-entered the NHL ranks.
Yeah,
like the king of the idiots, if you will, is back.
Yeah, are they scared to trade Ristolainen in division? Because I think I'd be sending them up what's that, like slightly northeast of here.
You need to call them like every day.
Yeah, oh absolutely. Yeah. So I would be looking into that, and that's something you have to do now though. We're talking on Wednesday, this is coming out on Thursday. The expansion draft's next Wednesday, it's the 21st, so clock's ticking, like you said. But even if you don't get a good deal, isn't that a better deal than, like, let's say you protect Ristolainen and you throw Seattle a third or fourth round pick to protect Borgen? Well, what are you really trading Ristolainen? You better be hoping you're getting a better trade for Ristolainen. And even then, it's like, if you lose Borgen just so you could get like a first for Ristolainen and from some stupid GM or a really good prospect or a decent current player. Well, a decent current player, then yes, I would absolutely take
that. But
those
two things don't have to be mutually exclusive, though.
True, but if it's exactly, if they do the trade first. But
right.
I would rather have Borgen than what you're really likely to get from Ristolainen now. Because again, 1 year left in the deal, you're losing him, and it doesn't seem like he wants to be here.
Right.
Now, on the other hand, let's look at it from Seattle's point of view. What do they want? The rumblings are they want to stay near the cap floor more so than Vegas did. You have to get to the floor at some point. But if they stay as close to the floor as possible, they can weaponize their cap space. And that's going to be huge because the flat cap seems like it's going to go on forever based on how things are going with all the revenue they lost from COVID. So
awesome.
Yeah. I mean, that's good for the Sabres though. We can also weaponize. If we had a GM that understood that concept, that'd be great. Maybe we do. I guess we'll find out.
That would be nice.
But yeah, then they could take on bad contracts and say like, yeah, we'll have a first. We'll take on X. Or they could say, we'll give you a pretty good defenseman and you just give us a pick and we'll take on the contract. You don't have to retain any salary. Not that mm-hmm. would ever happen, especially with like, say a 38-year-old defenseman who hasn't been good in 5 years. Never.
No, never.
So
can't think of a team that would do that.
So what's Seattle want? Seattle want Ristolainen? Probably not. No. So they want either Borgen or Miller.
Mm-hmm.
So do they want someone like Borgen, who's only played like 15 NHL games? He does not have a big sample size.
We do have a tendency of overrating prospects. Everybody does in their home market. That is for sure a thing. Maybe
absolutely.
Maybe they look at Miller as an opportunity to have a guy who's decently cost controlled for one more year. You have him on the books. It kind of helps if you're going to have a bunch of other younger guys on the roster anyways. He's got experience too. I mean, not that it really matters, but playing out West in the Pacific Division too. So you know, maybe you get somebody like that as like a veteran presence, but I mean, I'm sure they'll probably have a lot of that on this team, but I guess you never can really have too much when you're an expansion team just starting out.
Right. And so you're going to have, it really depends how they handle their draft. Cause let's say they've taken all the Asplunds and Borgens on the other teams.
Mm-hmm.
That means at some point you have to take a Colin Miller, not necessarily a Jeff Skinner, right? That's ridiculous. I don't think any expansion team would probably take him, but what about someone that's making like, what is Miller making like $3.2 million, something like that?
Something like that, yeah.
Someone that's pretty cheap, but is making enough money that you get a few of those guys, you can eventually hit the cap floor. Maybe they take one big money guy that doesn't have a lot of time left in his deal. But yeah. Miller seems like a decent – obviously, Miller was already taken in an expansion draft, wasn't he? Wasn't he taken in the Vegas one?
Was he? He might have been, actually. Wow.
He was on – well, I don't know, actually. Let me look that up. But anyways. Miller's someone that's decent, that's good enough to play, that almost justifies this contract, I guess. I mean, it's hard to say. The team's so bad. But it feels like Colin Miller's the guy for them to take, and they're not going to protect him, right? I mean, there's no way you
think – No, there's 0% chance of that happening.
Yeah. I don't – I mean, like Dellin, Jokiharju, and then – probably Risto.
Four boards, and you never know. You never know. Maybe sure, they're trying to get... Well, I think this also actually speaks to... Ziggy, don't even start, my man. This... See, now Ziggy's getting worked up because he knows what I'm about to say. This speaks to a greater point about this offseason, and it's one of the... Maybe the biggest thing that as Sabres fans we have to look forward to. It's bigger than the Eichel trade, whatever they do with Reinhardt, it's all of it. This is the first time we're actually going to be able to get an idea of how Adams is as a general manager, because as we've since learned, Kruger's influence and hands were all over last year's team.
Yeah, his big off-season. Long finger knives.
Oh, yeah, right. The offseason moves, like, were – they had his hands all over him. He was running the show because they had brought in Adams, who we've talked about at length, has no front office experience prior to this. So, of course, they're going to let the coach, you know, kind of do like a Sean McDermott thing initially, where he's the one who's calling the shots and putting his team together, except the difference is that Kruger is, in fact, a shit hockey coach, and mind, and all of the above. He just sucks at what he does. So, for me now, I'm just really trying to be cautiously optimistic, maybe not even that per se, but more so I'm looking forward to seeing what kind of GM Adams really is, because now there's no excuses. You have a year under your belt, you've gotten to do the dance, and maybe most important of all, you actually have a staff around you between Karmanos and Ventura who are actually going to be able to help him and, you know, be those voices of reason for him to lean on. And I mean, both of them have really solid backgrounds, are very impressive, you know, individuals, front office executives. And so is this actually going to work, like, it, or is Adams just going to be out in another, you know, 2 years? I mean, to be honest, like it's similar to Botterill in a way where it's like this Eichel trade is more likely than not probably going to determine this dude's fate. This offseason in general is probably going to determine his fate. Like if he even does like decently well, he's buying himself a lot of time, but if he botches it, I mean, where are we going to be in 2 years? Hiring right. Sam Ventura as our GM. Okay.
All right. So Colin Miller was taken in the last expansion draft, and he was part of the Milan Lucic trade, which I did not remember. So it'd be funny if he's the only guy that gets taken in two expansion drafts.
That would be a pretty wild thing.
Yeah. I guess he's the perfect kind of guy. He's not like the guy, you know, people pray for your team to take, like Kyle Oposo or someone like that. And he's right. Not like the young guy that you're terrified they'll take, but actually they don't even really know anything about him, that kind of deal. I mean, I guess it's like William Carrier, but he's a guy that's like a solid player and he got taken twice. Yeah, makes sense.
Exactly.
Anyway, so I think that's what are they going to do in net? That's kind of an open-ended question.
I wish I knew the answer to that, because on the one hand, it's hard to think about this rationally with like what they should do, because if they're trying to be bad, I don't want them to go and like make a splash or anything. Like, I mean, realistically, we're probably looking at, if they don't retain Allmark, you're looking at two free agent signings. I mean, maybe they go the trade route if Columbus is still down to do the dance, but like,
but who are they going to protect? They have to protect someone, right?
I think they can protect Allmark because he's technically still on their like roster per se until the start of free agency. So I thought I had read that earlier. I'm like 95% sure that they're allowed to do that. But otherwise it's like, get on the Michael Hauser train, baby. Let's do it.
Who are they? Cause they have to expose someone. Who are they exposing? Dustin Tokarski,
yeah, I guess. I don't know.
I hadn't really thought about the goaltending thing too much. I know there's some weird rule now with, because I think back in one of the early 90s expansion drafts, I don't remember which one, there were a ton back then. I think it was the Capitals. Didn't have a goalie because they had multiple goalies they wanted to keep. I think it was the Capitals. It was an NHL team. So they signed a goalie who'd been retired for like 6 years just to expose him.
It's a good move. I'm sure the NHL probably swiftly changed that rule.
Yeah, so they basically made a rule that you can't just sign it like a 50-year-old man. So I haven't thought about it, but I guess my big thought with the goalie is who they protect, who they...
They should sign you and protect you.
I agree. They should protect me.
Haven't been doing that for the past 10 years.
No, but yeah, anyway, it doesn't matter. Goaltending is a position that matters the least in this because the Sabres don't have any good goaltender. Well, they have one decent goaltender, and he's not under contract, and he's a UFA, so he's probably gone.
Yep.
Sadly. Yep. Just like our good friend Jake McCabe.
R.I.P. Jake.
Ah, well. So, a lot of interesting stuff happened in the league this past week. We didn't talk about some of the things on Monday, but some funny things. So, we talked last week about Duncan Keith being available and where he might want to go. And I think we figured, well, we didn't think it'd be like this.
Not necessarily. That's a dog flying off of the couch. Sorry.
He just couldn't take it anymore. He couldn't hear anymore.
He was so pissed about the Oilers overpaying for a 38-year-old defenseman who's been on a torpedo decline for the past 5 years.
Who was making like $5.5 or $6 million.
For what, three more?
For a good long while.
Yeah.
So I thought this was going to be a retention thing. Like the Oilers barely pay for it. And or this would be weird for someone in the Oilers position to do, but they take it on and they get a bunch of like extra picks.
Nope.
Like this is like they gave up Caleb Jones, who
is like not better. Bad.
He's better than Duncan Keith right now. I know they're really betting on this having rings in the room thing, but I believe that less than ever. I think leadership's important. I don't believe the rings in the room thing anymore.
Yeah.
It just does it really matter? Who were the rings in the room for the Lightning last year? They still won. Who are the rings in the room for the Blues? I mean, look at all the rings the Maple Leafs tried to get. Look, not mean Montreal got Corey Perry.
I don't disagree with you. I don't disagree.
It's just, I don't know. It's anyway, it's a dumb idea, but it's Edmonton, and I think somehow GMs get worse when they go there. They made kind of two ill-advised moves. They got Peter Chiarelli and Ken Holland back-to-back GMs. I was like, Chiarelli, I don't know. I don't think he really had anything to do with Boston winning the cup. But then he was worse. He was worse under...
Amazingly.
Under Edmonton. I mean, the Taylor Hall trade's legendary. Somehow we will not have the worst Taylor Hall trade, which is great.
It is nice. It does give me some peace of mind.
And then, look at this. Look at Ken Holland, architect of Stanley Cup teams. Three Stanley Cup teams in Detroit, maybe? Look at him now.
Look at him.
Making sub Jason Botchell level moves. Crazy. It's an insane move. Nuts, and now there's some rumblings that, so Caleb Jones is a Blackhawk now. I didn't know till this week he's Seth Jones' brother. I guess I should have assumed.
Oh, it's a pretty common last name.
Yeah, I guess it is. So that they're interested in getting Seth Jones and it's like, oh, okay. Well, the Blackhawks are they're not any smarter. Sure.
No.
Whatever. So crazy. That was not it though. The other dumb thing, and then we'll get to a weird thing that I'm not sure is dumb.
The dumbest of things are you about to say right now?
Pierre McGuire is now a member of a front office in the NHL. The Ottawa
Senators. All Ottawa every single day until next season starts and just offer whatever you could think of. Offer, you're going to tell me right now that Pierre McGuire would not be salivating at the thought of acquiring Rasmus Ristolainen?
What are they going to give us?
What's that?
What are they going to give us?
I mean, probably Brady Tkachuk, you know?
Wow. All right, that works for me.
Fair okay, enough. Good. No, I don't know. I'm not entirely sure. I mean, they have some good young pieces. There's a lot of guys on Ottawa that I would be very okay with a return. I don't think that that's going to happen necessarily. Maybe it will, though. Who knows? I mean, it's Pierre McGuire. You know, he'll be able to rattle off some facts about what Ristolainen ate for lunch in high school and then he'll just go trade away the farm for him pretty much.
You know, Pierre, there's an interesting thing with him that people talked about this past season, that he looks at guys that have good analytics or are liked by analytics type guys on the ice when they make a good play and go, like, analytics doesn't measure that. Can't tell you got a guy's heart like him. You know, he might not be an analytical darling, and the guy always is.
Yeah.
And someone was like, doesn't that mean he kind of understands, like, he has a good sense of who's actually really good and who's making a good impact? He just doesn't think he doesn't pay attention to analytics. He just has a good view of it or whatever. He just understands, and, you know, inherently who's good and who's making a good impact on their team. That's, and I was like, no, because he just says that about everyone, and sometimes about guys who are good. He just says that four times a game and doesn't bother to understand it. And look, right. I don't care, and I don't really want a between the boards person to talk about analytics all the time or to cite XGAR, all that stuff, expected goals. Don't care. That's not what they're there for. But just like, if you're gonna bring it up four times every game, either try to understand it or don't bring it up four times every game. Just don't bring it up at all.
Mm-hmm.
And just, Jesus, be normal.
It's a very easy thing. It's a very easy thing.
In fact, I would almost go so far as to say, as he might be better off in a front office than on TV. I actually would say that, because, like, I don't have to see him if he's in the front office.
Also, I think you kind of said this before, but, like, he says stuff also, like, to your point about, like, when he's like, oh, analytics can't measure that. Oftentimes he's saying that about things that, like, analytics definitely can measure. Like, I don't know if you made that point or not, or if you were just saying that he kind of like does, but, like, I have with like undoubtedly have seen that dude be like, see somebody like have a really smooth zone exit or something like that, or a zone entry, and him, oh, analytics can't measure that. And it's like, Pierre, half of the things that you say that analytics can't measure, they actually do. They do. And it's adds up to with what you're saying. So that's the thing. Like, it is, I guess that's an interesting point about him having like a weird anti-understanding or something like that. But also, I just don't buy it. I just think that the guy is just a old school professional idiot.
Yeah, he has a weird vibe, because you don't see guys like on TV or former front office types, guys who have been like, and he's a former coach too. Mm-hmm. You don't see like guys of that caliber have the demeanor of a weirdo that hangs out around like youth hockey rinks, even though all his kids are too old to keep playing hockey. Like, he has that vibe, like that guy. Like, you know, those American guys that, like, they talk like their name's Pierre Maguire or like Gord, like guys like that in Buffalo that they like hockey so much they start to sound Canadian. Like, they have this weird performative fake
Canadian. Oh, yeah.
Like, that. Mm-hmm. Those guys exist. We both played hockey. I remember those guys. A lot of them are assistant coaches on teams where they have no kids.
Mm-hmm.
They always are super annoying. They're the kind of guys that tell you, like, which is a big thing when we were in high school, to go be a Coletta out there, which is told to me many times
by multiple
coaches. Like, he has those vibes.
I'm going to start living my life. I'm just going to be like, you know what? I got to go be a Coletta out there. I'm at the bar. I got to go be a Coletta out there. In the post office, I got to go be a Coletta out there.
You see, like, your mail carrier, like, walking away, and you're like, I don't like the way he put that in my slide. You just come out and just, like, elbow him in the head.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh man, I know I'm not this guy. I donate to charity.
And then I'll be like, I'm from here. Everybody loves me. What do you mean?
Yeah. Go ask about me in Angola, pal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Did I ever tell you the story about when Pat Coletta was at one of my shows?
Really?
He was at Good Bar when my Strokes cover band was playing. And was like, oh, what do you guys play? And this is like between sets. And I'm like, oh, we're like a Strokes cover band. We do some like 2000s, like alt rock stuff. And he's like, you guys play Metallica? And I was like, no, Pat Coletta. My Strokes cover band does not, in fact, play Metallica.
Yeah, strictly 80s Joel.
Of course. So, anyways.
That's funny. He used to, I used to work at Edie's Pizza in Hamburg, and that was like his spot. I guess it's his pizza spot. So he was a menu cover model for a little while for them, which is.
Wow.
Yeah.
Look at him.
I think he might've had like some kind of order named after him, but I don't remember what it was.
Look at us talking about Pat Coletta.
Yeah.
Happy July, everybody. you have any other thoughts you'd like to share, Taylor?
Yeah. So the other weird thing is the Suter Parise thing.
Yeah, crazy.
I only bring that up to say this. It's not said often enough, so we're going to say it before it stops being a thing in a few years. The NHL's handling of the cap recapture and cap circumvention, like about a decade ago or not even a decade ago, is insane. It's one of the most insane things any professional sports league's ever done, and that's not said often enough. I'm going to say it here again. It's insane. And we just talked about Ehrhoff, I think, not too long ago.
I was going to say, we recently just talked about this. Yeah.
Yeah. If anyone doesn't know what was actually happening, like just a brief explanation before we go. So basically, with the NHL being a hard cap league, there was a trick that teams kind of figured out where, like, let's say you have a free agent and the free agent's like fair market value that he wants to take is $80 million. And that'll come over the course of 8 years. He's like 30 years old. You figure, you know, back then, obviously, too, at like 10, 12 years ago, it's more common to sign someone when they're 30 to a long deal. Not as common now, obviously. But either way, that's what the market value was. That's what people were willing to pay. So that would be $10 million a year cap hit because it's spread out evenly. So what they would do instead is make it a 13-year deal for $85 million. So you're adding a lot of years, but not a lot of money. And you would pay all that money up front, but the cap hit is still just spread across those years. So the cap hit is significantly decreased. So that is cap circumvention. Like, the Devils got in trouble with it with Kovalchuk, but it was hard for the NHL to really police it. So they had to put, during the CBA negotiations during the 2012-13 lockout, they wanted to put a new rule in place. Now, this all makes complete sense. The NHL side of it makes complete sense to me and any hockey fan. Like, it's not fair to circumvent the cap like this. But what guys would do is then you get to that eight at the end of that eighth season, you're 38 years old. You've gotten paid all the money you did want, and now you have like five seasons left to play where you're going to make like $5 million a year. And it's like, I guess I'll just retire. And now the team's off the hook for your cap hit. And it just wasn't fair. So what the NHL did was change the rules and then also make that ruling applicable to all the existing contracts. So guys like had long deals like Christian Ehrhoff, like Shea Weber, like Suter and Parise. I'm sure other guys too. I mean, they theoretically like Ovechkin, but and Crosby, but that would never really apply to them. They weren't about to get cut or retire early or whatever. So like now the Wild have to look at this. Now Parise is someone that might have gotten bought out this year anyway. He's just kind of at the end of his run and has no real place in the team that's trying to win a Stanley Cup. But Suter was their second pairing guy still. Suter's playing a lot of minutes. Like, I think he was still playing in their penalty kill.
Decent offensive impacts too. I saw their charts the other day and Suter is still serviceable for sure.
Yeah. So I think even with these weird rules, I might've kept Suter and just taken the gamble that he'd stay good enough.
You need to find the right partner. Yeah.
Yeah. Just take the gamble that he's good enough.
Also important to say though, the other thing to say though too, that's important about Suter is that finding the right partner, that's part of the reason why his numbers weren't that bad, because he had a partner that was pretty much like dragging him around defensively.
Right. But now they're going to have $15 million in dead cap in a couple of years.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy.
Yeah. Super crazy.
That's nuts.
I think, I don't know, maybe do you just, in that case, let's say there was no cap recapture. You just keep Parise? I don't know. That seems crazy to me. But yeah, the reason they do that is because the cap recapture would be worse if one of those guys just retired.
Yeah, so what actually is the breakdown? Like, what is that going to be up against their cap then for the next handful of years?
So this upcoming year, they get big savings. The following year, it's bad. And so, then it's like $15 million for 2 years.
Sounds like they're trying to save up to make a trade for a certain $10 million center.
Yeah, but how are they going to pay him after that?
I don't know.
They're literally losing cap space, even with the signings they haven't made yet. Like, mm-hmm. They haven't upped Kaprizov or anything yet.
Which, who knows if that's even going to happen. I mean, that deal is going to be nuts.
Yeah, well, if Kaprizov doesn't want to... If he doesn't want to be there, then they're just not going to be good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they'll be okay, but it's like, that's a big, big loss. It takes them from like the very edge, lower end, like potential cup contention to like, forget about it. You're basically the Predators.
You might as well rebuild at that point.
Yeah. Stupid league. Stupid league. $15 million in dead cap space. That's really unfair. That's just like absurdly insane. Unfair.
Just insane. Man. Well, this has been fun. Looking forward to our Monday episode where we'll do more of a deep dive into the expansion draft and free agency, as that again is approaching. By the time you all are listening to this, the expansion draft will be just 6 days away. And pretty much after that is when the chaos is going to start with the rest of the Sabres offseason. So make sure you are tuning in to Straight Up Sabres. Make sure you're following us too on our social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, to keep up with all of our commentary. We'll be posting a lot more now that things are going to be heating up again. And make sure you're also checking out the presenters of the show, which are the Hockey Podcast Network and Buffalo Fanatics. Both of them are putting out great content still, even the Hockey Podcast Network, with it being the offseason. Same thing with Buffalo Fanatics. Things are starting to heat up on both fronts with the NHL offseason and the Bills slowly, slowly approaching a return. So very exciting stuff happening. Make sure you're checking out both of their respective websites along with the various podcasts that they are putting out, and you're following them on social media as well. Make sure you're following us too on our personal social medias if you'd like. You can find Taylor at Nigrelli93, and you can find me at Brendan1423. As I had said before, we will be back with a brand new episode on Monday. Hope you all have a great rest of your week and weekend. This has been Straight Up Sabres.